The review should minor stroke patients be thrombolyzed? A focused review and future directions published in the International Journal of Stroke discusses the diagnosis and prognosis of mild strokes, the role of neurovascular imaging and treatment decision making, experience with thrombolysis in this patient population, and proposed directions for future studies. I'm Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Senior Author Dr. Sheila Coutts.
My name is Dr. Sheila Coutts. I'm a stroke neurologist. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Clinical Neurosciences and Radiology at the University of Calgary in Calgary, Canada. My interest is in TI and minor stroke and how best to treat these patients.
Can you define a minor stroke?
The definition of a minor stroke is an interesting question. One way to define minor stroke is using the NIH stroke scale score, and it's actually not as bad a way of defining a minor stroke than you might think. The numbers, despite the limitations of the NIH stroke scale score, actually work quite well, which is that clearly as you increase the amount from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, the amount of disability that there is at risk for a patient gradually increases. So although the NIH stroke scale score at the lower end of the spectrum misses cognitive issues and other things that we can't always assess quickly at the bedside, it's not that bad, actually, in terms of assessing how badly a patient or what the risk is of doing badly. The other way of looking at that, though, is that we had looked at, in the CATCH study, which looked at sort of minor stroke and TIA patients, and out of 500 patients, we actually had 55 patients who were disabled in that minor stroke population. And so, you know, this is not a small amount of disability. That's 10% of the population having some sort of disability despite having a very minor event coming in. So, you know, the word minor in some ways isn't very helpful. The cardiologists try and avoid the term minor heart attack, and people either have a heart attack or they don't. And that's perhaps one of our issues in stroke, is we define things as minor or not. And what really is important is the underlying pathophysiology. And part of what I think the definition of why minor is not helpful is that minor sort of means somebody who's coming in with relatively few symptoms when they present, and in terms of the numbers. Compared to somebody who can't move one side of their body, perhaps they have a little bit of facial weakness and a little bit of a drift. But what is most important to that patient is what is their risk of either getting worse or being disabled from the thing that they've come in the first place from. And we can sort of do that partly clinically. So the higher your number, the higher the likelihood you're going to be disabled. And that's true even in the sort of lower end of the spectrum. So a patient who's in an NIH of 5 has a much higher risk than somebody who's completely back to baseline. And the other side of things is what are the symptoms? So aphasia, for example, is likely to be more disabling than a little bit of numbness. So there's definitely a judgment call for the definition of minor stroke.
So how do you use neurovascular imaging then to identify minor stroke?
So I wouldn't use minor stroke. I wouldn't use imaging to define minor stroke per se, but I would use it to help me identifying that those patients who are at high risk of being disabled. And so certainly the evidence in the literature is that in patients whose thrombolysis is not given because they're relatively mild or they're improving, the presence of a large artery occlusion predicts patients who are going to go on and get worse or do relatively badly. And I think the important thing to sort of point out in this population is that we're talking about relatively badly mostly. We're not talking about people having a modified Rankin scale of 4 or 5 mostly. We're talking about people having minor disability, so an MRS of 2, sometimes 3. So there's something that they could do before that they can't do again. But that's important for the community, but particularly because 50% at least of stroke is initially minor. And so what I would use imaging for is to identify patients in whom I want to consider doing something else for because I think they're at risk, significant risk of having a stroke that gets bigger because they have a blood vessel block, so they've got penumbra there, or people that that I'm highly suspicious are going to clinically deteriorate because of this intracranial occlusion.
So is it safe then to use thrombolysis for what we would consider a minor stroke?
I mean, I think that's the key question here is what is safe? We think the risk is low, and the data suggests that the risk is probably lower for minor stroke versus bigger stroke. However, safe is a relative term, because safe is a throw up between what is the potential benefit to an individual versus the risk. So the harm benefit ratio, and where the sweet spot lies in terms of benefit versus harm for this population is not clear. There is a baseline risk of hemorrhage. We know that from the cardiology trials, that's around 0.5%. And all of the trials that have so far included minor stroke have only included a few patients in that minor end of the spectrum. So the confidence intervals are wide in terms of what the percentage risk is. So I think it's an important clinical question. And certainly my view is that patients in this end of the population need to be enrolled in clinical trials where possible. And hitting the sweet spot is going to be key in this area. So finding out or identifying in the emergency department who is at the highest risk for disability and treating those patients is going to be key.
Can you outline in the review that you've written for IJS, you've mentioned that some future directions. Could you outline those for us?
Yeah, so I think the first stage is that care needs to move up to what the evidence is. So people need to be getting vascular imaging completed with their CT scans. The new Canadian Secondary Stroke Prevention Triage Guidelines are actually recommending that CTA of both the intracranial and the extracranial circulation should be completed in all these patients as soon as possible. And we're actually now recommending that people are transferred to a site that could potentially give thrombolysis if need be in these patients. And so the big thing is most sites are not even seeing these patients at the highest risk because they think they're minor, and so they don't do vascular imaging acutely. And so we need to move to actually imaging these patients. And then once we identify the ones we think are at high risk, we should be enrolling them in clinical trials. Thrombolysis trials are important to be able to know if these patients are going to benefit or indeed how much harm there is with the treatments. And so ideally, these patients would all be treated within the context of clinical trials so that we can change care and we can make a difference to all these patients.
You've just been listening to a podcast interview with Carmen Lave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and Professor Sheila Coutts. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.